As we look in Ephesians chapter 4, again, what we have seen is that what we found in verse 7 through 16, we've seen four things. Right now we've seen three of them. We've seen that every child of God is gifted. We looked at it in verse 7. Every child of God's gift has a cost. And it's cost the greatest possible price. We looked at that in verse 8 through 10. And then last week we looked at every child of God gift is Christ-centered. We looked at verse number 11. And so today we'll look at the last segment of this. And that is in verse 12 through 16. We're going to see that every child of God gift has a threefold purpose. Every Christian's gift has a threefold purpose. Let's look at verse 12, because here it is. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So in verse 12 through 16, it teaches in its most clear form, and that is God's plan by which Christ produces church growth. So he says the first purpose is for the perfecting of the saints, for the perfecting of the saints. And this refers to restoring something to its original condition. Restoring something to its original condition, or is being made fit or complete. In this context, it refers to leading Christians from sin to obedience. The scripture is the key to this process, but also is helping them to higher and holier lives. Is helping them to higher and holier lives. And so what God has done is that God has given us four basic tools. Four basic tools for the spiritual perfecting of the saints. Number one, the first is His Word. His Word, which is the Bible. The second tool is prayer. The third tool is testing. And the fourth is suffering. Now you might say suffering. Yes, suffering is also a means of spiritual equipping. You remember Peter? Peter uses this word near the close of his first letter. Let's look at it in 1 Peter 5 and verse 10. 1 Peter 5 and verse 10. Notice what he says. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered, here it is, you see, suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, sell you. So we see that suffering is a means of spiritual equipping. When you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 4, 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 4, we found in verse 3 that we see that God comforts us. He comforts us in all our afflictions. Why? Because verse 4 says, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort we, which we ourselves are comforted by God. And so the sending of tests and suffering are entirely God's operation. And he gives them to his saints according to his loving and his will. But the two agents of spiritual equipping, prayer and knowledge of scripture, we see is also, we need to have that. We need to have prayer. We need to have the knowledge of the scripture. How do you get the knowledge of scripture? You study. You study the word of God. So he says, the first thing is, for the perfecting of the saints. The second purpose, for the work of the ministry. For the work of the ministry. In other words, for carrying on the various work assigned to the ministry. The spiritual service required of every Christian, every child of God, need to be involved in the work of the church. And it's not just of church leaders, but all of us need to be involved in the work. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 28. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 28. He says, and when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things unto him, that God may be all in all. So if the work is going to be successful, if the church is going to be successful, it takes all of us to do our part. So the spiritual service, it requires every one of us. And so what we find is that this verse discloses the purpose for the gifted individuals of verse 11. Their responsibility is the perfecting of the saints. That is to train and equip the rank and file Christians to do the work of the ministry. That's part of the evangelists and the elders and the deacons, is to get everybody involved, is to equip the saints. It is to train the members to do the work of the ministry. And the aim of this ministry is for the edifying of the body of Christ. That is to build up the church numerically and spiritually. So what we find is Christianity is a growing experience in Jesus. It's a growing experience in Jesus. It is a way of life. The more we are taught, the more we grow in the Lord. Let me say that again. The more we are taught, the more we grow in the Lord. And the object, of course, is the perfecting of our faith. And so we either go forward or we go backwards with the Lord. We never stand still. So the question comes to us tonight. Are you going forward? Are you going backwards? Are you standing still? We all need to be going forward for the Lord. And so the ministry cannot really function properly until these ministry positions that we have are filled with those that need to be involved in the work. So you have to find your place in the ministry. And not only find your place, but get to work doing the ministry. It's a job for every one of us to do. And so when there is no one taking care of one of the ministries, it not only puts an extra load on the leaders, but it puts an extra load on some of the members that's trying to do their part, but then they got to take up the slack because you are not doing your part. All of this is to build up the body of Christ. All of this is to help the Christian in his walk with God. First purpose. The first is to perfect the saints for the work of the ministry. Number two, the third purpose is for the edifying of the body of Christ. The spiritual edification, nurturing, and development of the church. Look at Acts chapter 20 and verse 32. Acts 20 and verse 32. The Bible says, "And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace." Here it is. "Which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified." All was intended to minister to the upbuilding of the church within and without. So the body is built up externally through evangelism as more believers are added to the body of Christ. But the emphasis here is on its being built up eternally. As all Christians are nurtured to fruitful service through the word. And so the maturing of the church is tied to learning of and obedience to the holy revelation of Scripture. In other words, just as newborn babes desire physical milk, so should believers, Christians, desire the spiritual nourishment of the Word. 1 Peter 2 and verse 2. So, verse 12 again says, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Why? Verse 13. Till we all come, Paul said, in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of stature of the fullness of Christ. Now notice what he says. He says, till we all come. In other words, what Paul was saying, and he's going back and he's talking about verse 11, these offices that he was talking about were given in order that they may all come to a goal. That is of the faith. Till we all come into the unity of faith. This is one of the great objects to be obtained. Unity. And that's what we all need to be pushing for in the body of Christ. Not division, but unity. And so faith here refers, when he talks about the unity of faith, it refers to the body of revealed truth that constitute the teachings, particularly featuring the complete content of the gospel. Oneness, harmony among Christians is possible only when it is built on the foundation of sound doctrine. When it's built upon the foundation of sound doctrine. And so when you talk about the unity of faith, this ought to be the goal of every evangelist and every elder, deacon. It ought to be in even members. It ought to be our goal. And that is the unity of faith. Oh, how it looks when everybody is involved in the work of the church and there is unity, there is love that's going on. And so you remember in Corinth that there was a vision. And the solution, Paul was talking to the church there at Corinth, the solution to the division in Corinth was for everyone to hold the same understanding and opinion to speak the same truth. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 10. And so only a biblical, equipped, faithfully serving and spiritually maturing church can attain to the unity of faith. Again, only a biblical, equipped, faithfully serving and spiritually maturing church. When you have that, listen, we can obtain the unity of the faith. And so Paul, he goes on and he talks about that. So when you look back in that he says, then the knowledge of the Son of God. When you look at, when he talks about the knowledge of the Son of God, this does not refer to salvation knowledge, but to the deep knowledge of Christ that a Christian comes to have through prayer, through faithful study of his word, and obedience to his commands. Read Philippians chapter 3. Write down that, Philippians chapter 3, verse 8 through 12. Philippians 3, verse 8 through 12. And then Colossians chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. And Colossians chapter 2, and verse number 2. Colossians 1, 9 and 10, and Colossians 2, verse 2. And so he says, the knowledge of the Son of God. And then he says, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. God wants every child of God to manifest the qualities of his Son, who is himself the standard for their spiritual maturity and perfection. And so what we have then in verse 12-13 is the edifying of the church is to continue till we all come into the unity of faith. That is until all Christians attain spiritual maturity. And since new Christians are constantly being added to the church, this objective would not be realized until the Lord returns. That's why we have to keep on each and every day. Keep on obtaining spiritual maturity. And we have to understand the call to the ministry is a lifetime call. It's a lifetime call. We should never stop working. Never stop trying to bring unity of the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Knowledge is accumulated learning. Knowledge is accumulated learning. And as we said before, we must learn all we can about the Word of God. And we need to allow the Holy Spirit to reveal to us the meaning of the Scripture. The goal that we set for ourselves should be to be perfect in Jesus. We will never be perfect on this earth, but it should be the desire of our heart to be perfect with our example being Jesus. We should try to be more and more like him every day. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 29, Romans 8 and 29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. So as individuals, we should desire to become more like Jesus every day. The entire body of Christ should be working toward being like Jesus. We are to radiate and reflect Christ's perfections. So as we look at verse 14 and 15, now what we come across in verse 14 and 15 is there are two results occur when Christians reach spiritual maturity. Number one, negatively, they will no longer be children, that is immature Christian, easily deceived by every wind of false doctrine. But then positively, they will grow up into him. That is fully grown in all aspects of Christian living, doctrine, conduct, service. But speaking the truth in love may grow up, may be read by lovingly teaching the truth. We will grow up. So Christian maturity is attained in part by instructions and sound doctrine and given in a loving manner. So let's look at verse 14. Verse 14 says that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine. Spiritually immature Christians who are not grounded in the knowledge of Christ through God's word are inclined to accept every sort of beguiling doctrinal error, being deceived by false teachers in the church. So they must learn discernment. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 21 and 22. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 21 and 22. But also the New Testament has warnings of such dangers. Acts chapter 20, verse 30 and 31. Acts 20, verse 30 and 31. Romans 16, verse 17 and 18. Romans 16, verse 17 and 18. Galatians chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. Galatians 1, verse 6 and 7. 1 Timothy 4, verse 1 through 7. 1 Timothy 4, verse 1 through 7. 2 Timothy 2, 15 through 18. 2 Timothy 2, 15 through 18. And then 2 Peter 2, verse 1 through 3. 2 Peter 2, 1 through. See, we are brand new Christians. We have to be fed on milk. When we get stronger in our walk with Christ, we feed on the meat of the word. See, when you are a new Christian, you are easily persuaded and you might fall for false doctrine. But the strong Christian that's grounded in the word of God is like a big oak tree that cannot be blown over with every wind of doctrine. And so we have to understand. We are told that in the end time, nearly everyone will be deceived. How you know it? Look in Mark chapter 13, verse 22. Mark 13, 22, for false Christs and false prophets shall rise and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. So you have to be constantly on guard. You have to be constantly in the word of God, because Satan is trying to find a weak point in your life. And so, also in Matthew 24, we're going to stop here and we'll pick back up with verse 15 next week, Lord's willing. Matthew 24, 24. Notice what he says. Matthew 24, 24. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets. Again, it shall show you signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. So the only way to keep from being deceived is to be fully grounded in the word of God. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Again, I want to thank you for just listening in on tonight. And just go back and read those scriptures that we have given you throughout the week. And go back and read Ephesians chapter 4 and begin to put all of these things together.